Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 16th of June, recording at 9:16 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, one of the highlights on this interesting day. Most of the Asian stock markets were stronger, some with some pretty chunky gains, not least Japan, up 2.72%. China's performance was quite muted in contrast. European markets were mostly down on the day and closed with modest losses. Wall Street was mostly underwater as well, particularly when the oil price had rallied quite sharply, as was the case during European trading hours, but that fell back in the main news item of the day. But I'll get there in sequence, or my usual sequence. Looking at government bonds, we saw modest gains in here today. The U.S. dollar was an interesting story. Firm at the outset, with the dollar index pushing up to its highest level for a number of months, then it promptly turned around quite sharply following the release of the Empire manufacturing data, which was down a fair bit more than had generally been expected. And that knocked the dollar index down, currently trading at 523 points lower. So that's back down to 73.62. Looks like a bit of an upside failure there. More on that in a moment. Precious metals rallied quite sharply. Gold at one stage was up, looks like 24, nearly 20, $23 at one stage. It's currently up 11, so it did slip back later on when the dollar recovered some of the losses that it had actually seen. Actually, I think a bigger influence, because the dollar didn't recover that much, bigger influence was the extraordinary swing in oil. So last but not least in here, oil was down a little bit, and then as the dollar weakened, it shot upwards and got up to a new all-time high in nominal terms at 139.89, but then fell back really quite sharply all the way down to 132.84. So from 139.89 to 132.84. And it's currently in after-hours trading 133.98. That's down 88 cents as I speak. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets are a little bit oversold in the short term, or a lot oversold, or that's not very articulate, is it? Or quite oversold, depending on which index you're looking at and what your time horizon is. We had that persistent decline from mid-May on down really into last week, and then markets began to steady a little bit. Now, so we've got this short-term oversold condition, but to get a good rally across the boards, I do think we need to see the shorts pressured in the Western financial sectors. We haven't seen that so far. The banking indices in Europe and the UK and in the USA have steadied, and they are certainly overextended on the downside. But we do, as I say, need to see those shorts pressured. I mean, there are big short positions out there in the markets right now. I had mentioned that Also, on Thursday, when I did stock markets approaching a moment of truth, item, and that would be a trigger, in my view, for a rally back up to the May highs and quite possibly beyond. On the other, and now that would those pos that 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 prospect would be helped if oil prices head down below the $130 level and get a little closer to that important next important support level at 120 that I've mentioned on a number of occasions. We won't have convincing technical evidence that the oil price has peaked until we see a break below that $120 level. Now, you know my view on oil. I've written about it on a number of occasions that I suspect this is a peak area, but for the medium term, I remain a long-term bull as far as crude oil is concerned, along with pretty well every other commodity. So this is all part of the commodity super cycle. Supply and elasticity meets rising demand, but oil, I think, has run too far, too quickly, and really we will see continued efforts to bring the price down, including cooperation, some cooperation among producers and consumers, and then just plain old market forces here, which are likely to weigh on the price at this level. Now, going back to stock markets, which ones look more interesting? Well, the resources markets all along have been among the most interesting. This is still a choppy, difficult period for stock markets overall, though I think most investors would settle, certainly with long positions, would settle for an extension of the overall ranging patterns. Provided those January and March lows are not broken. My own view all along has been that those January and March lows would probably hold, but I've been disconcerted by the really I described it previously as an almost perfect storm, in the sense that just as the banking problems were probably moving beyond, well, definitely moving beyond their nadir in terms of bad news. However, that hasn't lifted the share prices. I think, again, that's largely due to short covering. And I wouldn't want to be too bearish here, and particularly when the likes of Anthony Bolton, for those of you who don't know that name, it's a household word in the or household name in the UK, but top performing fund manager for decades at Fidelity. When he says people should be buying the financial shares for their long-term recovery, well, I'm very much inclined to agree with that, although I'm in no hurry to do so because I think there's going to be a very lengthy convalescence in that sector, and I'm quite happy to be patient. But what had disconcerted me was, of course, the surging oil price, and which accelerated, and that is very unnerving for investors. And then, of course, we still have to deal with the downgrades of corporate profits, the slower global GDP growth, the tough talk from central banks in terms of inflation. But when all the news seems to be worst, that's usually when markets are near a low, and that may well be the case this time. So I don't think it's all doom and gloom in here by any means, but I do think we have a tricky, somewhat choppy period ahead for a while longer. And then I think the fuller money themes will begin to reassert themselves once again, and those are led by resources, again, as global infrastructure. Asian emerging markets might be the last ones to jump back on that bandwagon because people are still quite concerned about deleveraging. They're also, that means that they do not want some of the more highly valued markets, despite their promising long-term growth rates. That's perfectly understandable. And there's a considerable amount of concern over inflation in Asia. I mean, my own view is that China's probably handling that problem through its monetary policies and various regulations, probably handling it more effectively than the USA. But we will, and my view would also be that China's growth will remain persistently, consistently much, much stronger than what we're likely to see in the USA. But that doesn't mean that there aren't numerous opportunities in the UK, and you just go, all you have to do is go into the library and you can see the strong performers from Walmart to IBM and in the Dow. The technology sector, it had a good day in here today, despite the Dow being down. Well, Dow was only down 38 points, but the NASDAQ composite gained about 1%, just under 1%. So, and the US multinational companies, I think that the better ones look quite interesting. How to select the better ones? Well, I'd go with a markets view, have a look at the charts in the library. Now, precious metals. Before precious metals, let me talk about the corn and grain and bean complex. That's another factor that in what I described is sort of the perfect storm environment that we've seen recently that has rattled investors. As you know, corn had been leading agricultural commodities up day after day after day. They might have boiled over in here, although there's a crop summary from the US government that markets will be able to assess tomorrow, which may remain an influence, but the technical action looks a little bit overstretched in here. I jammed up my stops and I'm now on the sidelines. In other words, I've taken those profits in corn and also a small profit in oats, which was a late addition to those commodity long positions. I still hold sugar among the agricultural commodities. That's white sugar in the UK. But I think that this debate about whether commodities should be treated as asset classes or not is going to roll on, and there will certainly be some pressure brought to bear as far as long-term investments in crude oil, in essential foods. And I know that's a very controversial subject, but I am sympathetic to those arguments. I've said on many occasions that crude oil and foods were never meant to be an asset class as far as investors were concerned. But the point that concerns me more is that as this discussion and debate rumbles on, and politicians feel under pressure to do something, where will anybody who is deterred from going in and buying a food tracker or buying an energy oil tracker, where might they go if they want to stay in the sector? And to me, it's precious metals that will scream. And I think most of the tracker positions in precious metals are not in futures at all, but are actually in the physical market. In other words, they own gold and silver, platinum, bullion. And I see that trend continuing seasonally. This isn't the most opportune time for precious metals, but the long-term forces, I think, of the long-term trends of economic events and are very, very much in their favor. And I think that's pretty much it tomorrow. I'll probably be doing the audio tomorrow, but I have a number of appointments. I've got to go all the way into Docklands to participate in some TV, or not TV, but a broadcast event. And to be hosted on a website. And I've also I have a medical appointment tomorrow afternoon, so I will not be contributing much copy, but chances are I'll be back in the office and doing the audio. Meantime, all the very best to all of you.